I want to tell you a story, which I got from Pastor Karen. I think I'd heard it before she told me, but she was much more involved in it. It's a story about Billy Brim. Billy Brim, many of you know, she is a very powerful woman of God. Does a lot of ministry in Israel, ministers a number of members of the Knesset, ruling body of Israel, and if I'm not mistaken, has actually spoken to the Knesset on a number of occasions. And she mentored Pastor Karen for a number of years. And she tells a story where she went to Russia. It's a long time ago, before it was opened up. And there was a church she spoke at, and they determined that there was a spy in the church, and they wanted to move away and lose the spy. So the pastor came up with this idea. He says, okay, he announced, next Sunday we are holding services as usual, but not here. Everybody needs to ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, where the services are being held. And that was the announcement. So the following Sunday, everybody showed up but one person, and they determined that person was a spy. Now, do I think that church had more knowledge than we do? It's not very likely. All things are possible, but it's not very likely. But probably where they have more than we, on the average anyway, is a commitment to the Lord, living for the Lord, being sold out for the Lord, probably spending a lot of time with the Lord so they can hear the Spirit of God. Of course, one understands that when you are in dangerous situation, God's power is even more manifested to you. When things are darker, a little light grows more brightly. When it's more dark, when situation is more dark, a little light glows brightly. So perhaps situation was so dark that the Spirit of God just was able to move more dramatically with them than us. So how many people have found the right chapter? The right book? Let's see the hands. Okay, about 50% of you? 60%? That's very good. Okay, 60% have found the right. Okay, tell the ones next to you who didn't raise their hand where we are, okay? Okay, Mark 11:24, right? You're all looking at me as if you weren't sure, okay? So 60, maybe 70% of you got it correctly, okay? But that was a pretty easy one, right? Because that's my favorite scripture. And we haven't really talked about that for at least 24 hours, right? But the point being, you want to be spending so much time with God that you're always in the right place at the right time, and you can hear God's voice all the time. That's our goal. That's, in a very real sense, why Jesus came. So you'd be born again, so the Spirit of God would be in you, so you could hear His voice all the time. See? So today is the last Sunday of the year, the last service of the year. But more important than that, it's the last Sunday of the era of fear. The last Sunday, the last service of the era of fear. The Lord told us in December 2010, repeated it very clearly, January 2011, that we're entering a time of fear called the era of fear, where fear would sweep the whole earth and people would actually fall down dead because of fear. And terrible things would appear all over. But to remember that fear is false evidence appearing real. We've gone through that. We've gone through the era of fear. And this seems to be a good time to recap, not the terrible things that have happened. I'm not going to focus on that because you're all very much aware of the terrible things that have come up on the earth in the last 5 years. But to recap some of the wonderful things that have happened to ABC during that time. Because we have so much to cover, we typically don't do testimonies in most of the services. Where we do them generally is the 6 o'clock service, and quite often we don't even do them there. We used to come out with a bulletin, a wonderfully done bulletin of the major praise reports for the month, but it took a lot of time, and after a period of time, we put it on hold. But today I thought I'd recap some stuff. Much of the most wonderful stuff that happened here, most people never hear about it because it's kind of private. People like to keep them private, eh? And some of it are potentially life-threatening to other people. So in general, we don't talk about them. But I thought this might be a good time to recap some of them so you have an idea of what ABC is all about, what we've just gone through, and the fact that we're now moving from false evidence appearing real to the era of reality. What we're coming into is no longer an era of fear. We're coming into an era of reality where terrible things are going to start happening. The people of this country have made a choice to remove God's covering off the country. Put that another way. They've made a choice to open up this country to the attacks of the evil one. And the evil one will, in his own way, bring terrible things upon this country. I was told recently, I don't know if this is accurate, that Halloween sales now exceed Christmas sales. Okay? Not for the gifting, I don't think, but for the decorations. Get decoration and costumes. Well, that's a choice for the evil one. Halloween is the high unholy day of the enemy. On Halloween, at midnight, different time zones across the country, it is estimated by Satanists who have been converted to Christianity that over 10,000 people are sacrificed every Halloween. You know, you see, they used to have these milk box with missing children and all over TV. All these people are missing. A lot of them probably ended up there. But we're not going to talk about Halloween. We don't even talk about Halloween and Halloween. We used to. We used to teach on Halloween, but we haven't done that now for close to 10 years probably. Of course, the teachings are available. Well, on the era of fear started in 2011, January 2011, the first major challenge that occurred, I'm going to mention a couple of challenges. Very first one was that attempted assassination in Phoenix of that congresswoman where a number of people were killed. She wasn't. She was severely injured. Her husband is an astronaut. Then, not the next one, but shortly thereafter, I think the following month, maybe the same month, was a great tsunami that swept Southeast Asia, killed 1/3 of 1 million people, destroyed the nuclear reactors in Japan, unleashed a radioactive wave that was moving towards this country, creating so much fear that across the West Coast, all the pharmacies were sold out of potassium iodide, which is the first level of defense against radioactive poisoning. And today, you know where we are today, we fear just sweeping the world. People are afraid to go anywhere. Some of you may know that in the calamity, the massacre in Paris, in the nightclub, when the terrorists came in and shot up all these people, the band that was playing was called the Angel of Death Metal. So the Angel of Death was playing and they got what they played for, Angel of Death. That shows the lack of knowledge that sweeps the world. Tremendous lack of knowledge. As the Bible says, in the ending days, knowledge would abound. And we all know knowledge abounds. You can buy things now that to me are just total science fiction. You buy a little thing about the size of my thumb and it holds more information than the Library of Congress. I mean, technology is truly amazing. But the knowledge abounding to the world in secular things which are being used, a lot of it for evil, and at best for carnal things. You know, there won't be any thumb drive in the millennial period. There wasn't any in the Garden of Eden. Maybe a shock to some of you. But knowledge has not abounded to the majority of people in the era and in the area of God. The Bible says that grace is multiplied to you, 2 Peter 1:2, through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. But the church is not abounding in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. In fact, much of the church is in the middle of the apostasy, the falling away from God. And the great majority of the remaining part is still teaching the same thing they taught 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 100 years ago. But for those who are moving on with God, God's grace abounds tremendously. Tremendously. So you call indecision. We'll do it this way. So grace has abounded. Through this era of fear, grace has abounded to those who are seeking and gaining knowledge in Christ Jesus. So I want to recap some of the special things that have happened to ABC over the last 5 years, just as they come to mind. I have not organized it. First one coming to my mind is this lady who had come to ABC just about that time, and she had significant cancer in 5 areas of her body, and she was scheduled to have her voice box removed. And over a period of time, she got totally healed. The surgery kept getting canceled and canceled and canceled, and eventually, She got to UCLA, they ran all the tests again and said, but there's nothing wrong with your voice box. That to me was a pretty significant miracle. We had one at the miracle service where this man came in and came forward for prayer, and hands were laid on him. He immediately went down, was down for maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes, whatever, 10 minutes. And when he got up, he was totally healed from a challenge he had had, from two challenges he had had for 40 years. He had not been able to move his head like this or this way. Basically, if you want to see over here, it'd go like this. And he couldn't raise his arms above this. He was totally healed from both of them. He had had a football injury about 40 years previously, and the bones were fused. And God just healed him that night. We have a video of him and his wife crying, and his wife saying, I've never seen him do things like that. That was a wonderful praise report. Now, a few months later, he sued ABC, Sierra and me, for $1.3 million, saying that when he went down on the floor, he acknowledged his healing. He was still healed. He says, yeah, God healed me. But when I went onto the floor, the people who caught me didn't lower me correctly, and I injured my back. So he sued us for $1.3 million. Thank God we had somebody spirit-led who had video recorded everything. And so after a long time going through mediation, the mediator, the second mediator, not the first one. The first one made no impression on anybody. Second one told him, he said, mediator, the judge. He's a judge doing mediation. He said, there's no way you can win this case in court. You're going to just waste everybody's time. Just quit. And then he said to us, just to save yourself time, why don't you pay him $1,500? He'd gone from $1.3 million down to $800,000 to $500,000 to $300,000 down to $80,000. And then when he was at $80,000, the judge said, this is ridiculous. You're wasting everybody's time. You can't win. And said to us, give him $1,500. So the lawyer said, to save time, why don't you just give him $1,500? So we said, okay, we'll give him $1,500. All this time, we're trusting in God. We declared, we're not going to pay a penny to this man. But we hired the lawyer, so we're being obedient to the lawyer. See, Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God. We trusted him. And so we agreed. And the lawyer paid the $1,500. Now, how is that for a praise report? The lawyer paid the $1,500. Lawyers don't normally do stuff like that, right? During this five-year period, we had a lady come here. She was here not for a very long time, maybe 9 months, maybe a year and a half. And during that time, she came into $1 million. $1 million. And she left. That's a big praise report. We had another couple come here. They're really, really quite well off. They came here. First thing they asked for was prayer for finances. This couple who had been well off and even more well off was going through some kind of ripple, which is probably why they came here. God blessed them so much in the first year they were here that they had never made so much money. First couple of years, they never made so much money. That's a big miracle. When you can take people well off and God increases them to where they're saying, wow, we've never made so much money, never seen so much money. That's a significant thing. During these 5 years, three people have been raised from the dead. Love all three stories. One I want to mention is this lady who was an irregular ABC-er got challenged, went over to minister to her. And she said, you know, I don't mind being sick if it will draw my daughter to God. I said, you know, you don't want to say that. She said, but it's true. That's what I mean when you don't attend ABC on a regular basis. You say things and you don't realize that you shouldn't be saying them. Anyway, her main goal was to see her daughter back with the Lord and walking in the power. And so the lady got sick, had a relapse, and we went to pray for her. And when we went to pray for her, she said, no, I don't want you to pray for me now. I don't want you to pray for me now. Come back tomorrow. Never a good idea to turn down prayer. Unless it's somebody you think might be a witch or something, okay? They come back tomorrow. So tomorrow she had died. By tomorrow she had died. Okay? Not a good idea to turn on prayer when it's offered from somebody, especially your pastor. But see, Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God, trust God. So during this process of ministering to the mother, we got to meet the daughter, and we ministered a lot to the daughter, in particular my wife had. So the daughter was really pumped up on the word of God. And so she happened to be outside when they were performing surgery. And so they were doing something with their heart, and they had to remove the heart. So they removed the heart, and the heart stopped working. Somewhere in the process, the heart stopped working. And so the main doctor told the other doctor, go tell the family that their mother's gone. So the second doctor came out and told the daughter, your mother is gone. We couldn't save her. And she, being pumped up by all this word that had been pumped into her, especially by my wife, ran to the surgical door, and she pounded on the door and said, no, Satan, I know the word of God. You can't have my mother. And she pounded on the door very loudly, you know, like a person who is, not a regular person. And as she's pounding on the door, the doctor had picked up the heart and was walking someplace with it. I don't know what he's doing. And the heart started to beat in his hand. In his hand, the heart started to beat. So he plopped it back in, and she lived. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? It's a wonderful thing. Well, we had not just one person come back to life, we had three. That's an awesome blessing in a ministry. But it shows what can happen when you have faith in God. So there have been many, many miracles in healing and in restoration. Over this period of time, you know, Lord told Sarah and I that we could not teach outside ABC for a season. So we're teaching back in up to 2007. We're teaching at churches around the country. And 2007, Lord said, that's it. So we, at that point in time, terminated all our teaching engagements outside ABC. At that time, my recollection estimate was that we had 32 churches that wanted us to come speak. We just stopped. But he allowed us to speak overseas. So we continued speaking at international conferences until 2009. In 2009, he said, that's it. No more speaking outside ABC. You have to get ABC ready for that for which it's called, which is preparing the body of Christ to gain the knowledge to go through the era of reality and to be alive and remain until Jesus returns. That's what we are called to do. And so starting this coming year, that's what we're going to focus on. Not so much a pastoral ministry for myself personally, but more of an apostolic ministry. What's the difference? The difference is pastoral is you are in charge of the people. You guide them, you counsel them, you teach them. You help them with their challenges, and you try to get them to mature and get better. Apostolic is you open up new areas of churches or revelation. And what you basically do, an apostle starts the church but doesn't stay there to pastor, generally speaking. You start a church and you move on. You open a bit of revelation, you teach about it, but you're not there to make sure everybody can handle it and grow up in it. You present it, and what they do with it is up to them. So starting this coming year, the major focus will be getting the gospel out to people. It may require us to start speaking on television or radio. We have open invitations to do those in different countries. We've only done a minimum of it. Over the last 5 years, we've had invitations to speak in on radio or television or in person at conferences or churches in countries like Canada, United States, Jamaica, Trinidad, Singapore, Hong Kong, Macau, Korea, Australia, Nigeria, Guinea-Bissau, Ghana, and Israel, different places in Europe. We have not accepted any of them. Why? Because it's more important to get ABC in order. It was more important to get ABC in order. Now we have a staff that can run ABC without us, and we have much material online. Over the last 5 years, we have completed, some of this started before, we've completed a one-year Bible college. Just had a man telling me last night on the phone. He said, I just got into the Bible college to please my wife. But he said, the more I got into it, was the more I loved it. He said, I couldn't believe it. Every module got better than the last one. He went through the whole thing. He said, I took every test, and if I didn't get 100, I repeated it. He said, one test I took 15 times to get 100. That's the kind of people we want. Patient and persistent and dedicated. He said, I have learned so much from the Bible College that I'm now a regular tither to ABC. He's never been here. Never been here. So we have a one-year Bible College, which we think is, in terms of the material, the content, probably the best in the country. We compared it to Rhema, and Rhema had 18 teaching modules. We have 44. We have a one-and-a-half-year healing school, a one-and-a-half-year school of dominion, and a one-and-a-half-year graduate school. That's 5.5 years of teaching we have because we stayed home the last 5 years to put it all into a structure. Over this time, we had one lady who came here, and her brother is a top nuclear doctor in a country other than the United States. And his wife came down with cancer. Medicine couldn't heal her. So she left and went home, and in her words, I took what ABC taught me, I went home and I ministered to the wife and got her totally healed of cancer. In the process, she found out something she had not known, which is the family she had left back home had a closely guarded secret, which is one of the most closely guarded secrets on earth today. There is a movement for ministering to people in the Middle East that's one of the most closely guarded secrets on earth. And their family was heavily involved in it. In fact, their friends are headed up. And this is closely guarded because people involved in it, with the slightest suspicion that they're involved in it, they'd be killed instantly. Instantly. So I won't even mention the name of the ministry. So we made a big impact on them, and they started looking to ABC and so forth. And then the one who is the operational head of the ministry in one of the Arab countries, she's actually in charge of the ministry to all the Arab countries, went for a visit to another country, which is not an Arab country. And while this person was there, fell in the street, almost died, and they rushed the person to the hospital. And the hospital couldn't solve the problem. So from this remote country, far away, a phone call came all the way to ABC, and Pastor Matthew took it. And Pastor Matthew prayed, and the person got healed, either then or later, got filled with the Holy Spirit. And we've got that whole chain of ministers in these Arab countries now full of the Holy Spirit and full of ABC teaching and walking in power. Okay? And I did all that without mentioning a name. Isn't that pretty awesome?
Yeah.
You see how God used two different connections of healing to make that come to pass. We got a request that came for a radio station that ministers. That's very popular with the Arabs. Christian radio station was very popular with Arabs. And the transmitter had been damaged. I'm not going to mention the name of the country either. And the person came here and made a request and needed $10,000 to repair the radio transmitter. Had been down for, I guess, like a year. And little ABC provided the money. So that radio station, which is ministering to Arabs now, we have a major contribution to that. Not to mention the prayers that have been going forth for that group from ABC for a long, long time. Before the Ebola became world news, in one of the countries there, a small country, a country called Guinea-Bissau, one of our ABCers was responsible for a major Christian ministry in that country. And so word came pretty soon that Ebola had broken out in the country right south of them, which is a huge country of Guinea. And so we were asked to pray, and so we prayed, people prayed, that no Ebola would ever come into Guinea-Bissau. All he has to do is go one country north, and it will be there. The Ebola went south into about 5 or 6 countries to the south. No Ebola ever showed up in Guinea-Bissau. Why is that? Because once you have faith in God, Mark 11:23, Mark 11:22, then you move into Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23 says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things which he say shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he said. So the person who brought this request to us, the person who actually came here, ABC, we understand that. So we spoke to it, and it came to pass. That's the kind of behavior and faith and prayer we need to go forward through the era of reality. We got through the era of fear without the challenges coming and hitting ABC. The recession didn't bother us. Stock market crash didn't bother us. Inclement weather hasn't bothered us. Terrorists haven't bothered us. ABC is flying around to all kinds of things. Why? Because you have the mindset, the faith, and the perspective that wherever you go, God goes with you, and there's a blessing. When you're on a plane, the plane is blessed because you're on it. When you walk into a room, the terrorists with their demons leave. I remember when two men tried to attack me. They didn't try to attack me. They attacked me with ice picks. You know, I don't mean the small ice picks that we have here. I mean ice picks, okay? One was here, one was here. And I used the name of Jesus. I said it 5 times. By the time I said it the third time, they're turning away. And by the time I said it the fifth time, they were literally running from me. Because all these evil people are led by demons. And demons are supposed to fear the children of God. But they'll only fear you if you know your rights and if you act on your rights. If you have faith in God and you believe that what you say shall come to pass, you have what you say. But if you read the scripture in the King James, which is my favorite translation of the Bible, it says, for whosoever shall say to this mountain, the word say is a one-time shot. I am saying to this bottle. I'm saying it now, one time. For whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that the things which you say, that say is an ongoing saying. It's a lifestyle of saying. It's saying, if you believe the things you say as part of your ongoing lifestyle, that everything you say comes to pass, then you should have whatever you say as a one-time shot. So if you say, mountain be gone, it will be gone because you said it, if you believe as part of your ongoing lifestyle that everything you say comes to pass. If you look at the Greek, you see that's what it's saying. I'm sure the translations would say that. But in the King James, you got to look at it carefully. If you believe that everything you say comes to pass, why would you want to believe that? Well, death and life and the power of your tongue. Right? Your words create things. The angels wait to hear your voice to do God's bidding, and the demons wait to hear your voice to do Satan's bidding. Whose bidding is going to be done in your life? God's blessing or Satan's curses? It all depends on what you say. If you believe that as part of your ongoing lifestyle, you have what you say, then when you say to the mountain once, be gone, then the mountain would be gone. But you must believe it on an ongoing basis, which means you must want the Holy Spirit to guide every word you speak. Because the book of James says, no man can tame his tongue. No man can tame his tongue. Which means the Holy Spirit has to do it. Which means everything you say all day long is helping to determine what happens when you really want it to come to pass. You know, if somebody is around all day long and they're cursing bad words and lying and doing all these terrible things with their mouth, and suddenly there's an emergency and they try to pray, there's a good probability their prayer won't be answered. At least not in the time frame they would like. Isn't that true? You know, most people, when they pray, don't get their prayers answered. Probably a great percentage of people, when they pray, they don't even expect it to be answered. Which, by the way, terminates the prayer. You only receive what you believe. If you pray and don't expect to get it, you won't get it. God has also used us to help in Southeast Asia in a different number of ways. Well, back to that ministry that whose name I didn't mention, that's such a top secret. Through another route, totally nothing to do with that, we're invited to go to speak at the conference of all the leaders in Korea. All the leaders are getting together in Korea. And from a totally different source, we're invited to attend, which of course we also turned down. So I know many of you were not aware of that. We're involved in Southeast Asia in different ways. One other way is that we have Mark and Astrid with their ministry there. They print Bibles, they translate Bibles from one language to another, they distribute Bibles. The ministry has become really a major distribution tool for some of the major Bible publishers providing Bibles to them. And they minister in a lot of signs and wonders over there with a lot of powerful things happening. And we have been blessed to have them here speak on a number of occasions and to have support to them, both financially and with prayers. Two that come to mind in particular was when they have an orphanage. I believe they have more than one orphanage, but anyway, this one orphanage, fire was coming down an orphanage from three different directions. And so they went up on top of the mountain and they're praying and praising God. And they sent out a request around the world, people to pray. So we prayed, and we specifically prayed that rain would come and put out the fire. And I'm sure others were praying that also. But it was a dry season. In the dry season, rain doesn't come. But this time it did. Rain came down and put out all the fires. Another one that comes to mind is when Astrid was traveling between Burma and Thailand, between two armies, either one which would have arrested her or worse. And she had to be invisible. And as she has to be in many of her trips. And that's what we pray. We pray that she passed right between two armies and they wouldn't see her. And I'm sure a lot of people are praying that. But we feel that we are making a contribution because when we pray, we believe our prayers are answered. If when you pray, you don't believe your prayers are answered, why are you praying? The third one is the man I ministered to for many years using Mark 11:24. As problems would arise in a person's life, I'd use Mark 11:24. I told him about it. I'd pray, and God would answer the prayers. Eventually, he accepted Jesus. He went on to go to Rhema. He's Jewish. Went to Rhema. Met a Messianic Jewish lady. They got married. And during the course of this time, he was disowned by his family. The family was very wealthy. They own a well-known corporation in this country. A private corporation is well-known. So he was disowned by all this money because they had become Christian. So the rest of the family all got millions, many, many millions. They got nothing. But in so doing, I was told, he became what I was told. He's now a legend among the Messianic churches. The story has spread across the Messianic temples. And it's very inspiring and motivational for them that somebody would not just turn their life on their concept of what Judaism was, but embrace the fact that Jesus is the Messiah and the fulfillment of what Judaism is all about. And not just do that, but turn their back on his oldest son, on a major, major fortune. So that made him very famous. So a few weeks ago, I was talking to him. And I started telling him that in 1987, when I got saved sometime thereafter, 1983, God told me, or it was 1983, he told me, I've been saved for some time, that the stock market would crash in October 87, and then told me the year of his return. At which point I said, well, I believe this is you, but I need scriptures to back it up. So show me some scriptures telling me when you're coming back. He showed me two paths in the Bible, really simple, that tells when he's coming back. The two paths narrow it down to like 3 years. But as I think more and more about it, he gave me a specific year, which is right in the middle of the 3 years. So 4 years later, he sent me to the Southwest Believers Convention to an inventor. And I told the inventor, God sent me to you to tell you when he's coming back. I told him the year, and I showed him the scriptures. And his answer was, whoa, that's so simple and obvious. How come I didn't see that all this time? But he was very, very grateful. He was very, very grateful because he was working on a 20-year project. And he was wondering, why would God have me working on a 20-year project when in 1987, the church believed that Jesus was coming back in 1988? Which is a good question. So he's excited to hear that he wasn't coming back in 88, or 99, or 2000, or 2001, or 2007, or 2011, or 2017. And we're going to stop it right there, okay? He was very excited to hear all that. So I'm telling this for some reason to this person driving on the phone. I'm telling him on the phone as he's driving. He said, well, you know, I'm driving out to Dallas. I said, yeah, I know you're going to Dallas. That's why I'm telling you the story. He said, but I'm going to see that inventor. I'm going to see that same man. Is that amazing? And so I ministered. He asked some questions. I talked about an hour on the end times. And at the end, he and his wife said, well, these are two powerful believers, you know. I can list the number of Messianic Jews that walk in the power of the New Testament on one hand. And the two of them are on that list. Another one, Bishop Arnold. Bishop Arnold is currently scheduled to be a guest speaker here on Friday the 8th. Okay? It's not 100% confirmed. He wants to come, but there's one issue that needs to be resolved. Currently, he's scheduled to be a guest speaker here on Friday the 8th. Bishop Arnold is an apostle. He's the one that after a major tsunami, he went to the Philippines. And in 30 days, he founded 25 churches. The first church he founded was in this town or village, and he had a prayer meeting. And the first person up for prayer was this man who was born without legs. And Bishop prayed for him, and in front of the whole town, both legs grew out. And they all know him because he was lived in the town, born without legs. He was on a skateboard, and he scooted forward. Before everybody, legs grew out. He's on my list. And so these two people who are so powerful in the Lord asked to come under ABC discipleship. And so they'll be streaming with us starting in January. I normally don't talk about these things in general, sometimes to my grad students. But I want you, as we go into this era of reality, understand the reason why we say certain things and the many wonderful things that have come to pass and the many areas of the world that we're impacting, even though it doesn't seem like it. The last one I want to mention is, most of you know Paul Wilbur, right? His music. Okay? Probably almost everybody here knows Paul Wilbur's music. Like, Show Me Your Face, In His Presence, Shalom Jerusalem. Okay. Well, Paul Wilbur started out with Sid Roth. Many of you know Sid Roth. But after a short time, he left to go into music. Now, at that time, his pastors were friends of Sarah. They went to the same Bible college. So they're friends, not Bible college. Christian college. The same one that Billy Graham went to. So they went there, and so they've been friends since then. So when we were in Israel a number of years ago, Sarah made arrangement to meet them because they live in Israel. They spend 6 months of the year in Israel on their ministry. They spend 6 months of the year traveling around the world to Messianic churches and temples, mentoring them. They happened to be in Israel at the same time we were, we met. And so we had a nice time together. Maybe a year or so later, 2 years later, they came to L.A. to speak at Jack Hayford's Bible College, King's College. Not to the students, but to the graduate students. They came in to teach the graduate students. And they called us and we had lunch. So we ministered to them, Sarah in particular, to the wife. One of the things that I'm getting most precise about is the area of not saying things which come out because of pride, nor because of marketing. But I want to say things which come out because God wants it to come out. So we had a wonderful lunch. Sarah ministered them, and Sarah ministered a lot to the wife. Near the end of the luncheon, the wife said to us, said that ABC must be God's most powerful secret weapon on earth, coming from two people with that background. That's really wonderful recognition. And then the wife asked to come under Sarah's discipleship. No, these are major things affecting major people. This is part of the ministry that you're connected with. And much of this has never been talked about in a regular service. Because if you have faith in God, you can move any mountain. So that when you pray, whether it's speaking to the mountain or asking in prayer, you believe that when you pray, that is done at that point in time. What things soever you desire. When you pray, either through praying the prayer of faith, petition prayer, or praying the prayer of authority we are commanding, you believe it's done when you pray. then you should have it. Mark 11:24. But these only work if you walk in forgiveness. You have to forgive people. Mark 11:24 and 25. You have to forgive people. Now, in my opinion, one of the two greatest men of God on earth today are Kenneth Copeland, Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter has been a guest speaker here many, many times. The Lord put a man here for a season, said go to ABC and rest for a season. The man who currently runs Kenneth Copeland Ministries, John Copeland, was led to the Lord or back to the Lord by this man. He's the man that led John Copeland either in back to Jesus the first time or back to him from backsliding. I believe the wording was he led him to commit his life to Jesus. That man was here for a season. If I were to call his name, many of you who listen and attend the Copeland meeting and convention would recognize the name, because many times I've mentioned his name. But generally speaking, I don't talk about these things because even worse than the sin of unforgiveness is the sin of pride. And so I've tried really hard not to say things because of pride. But as we move into the era of fear, I think it's important that everybody participating here and on the internet have a better idea of where we've been, how God blessed us through this era of fear, and how we are positioned to go into this era of reality. You want to go into the era of reality having Mark 11:22-26 written in your heart, keeping them always before your eyes. Trust God. Speak to the mountain. Believe you receive when you pray. And be a loving, forgiving person. Because if you do that, you can live John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you should ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. That's where you want to live. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. Because when you dwell there, you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. And no evil shall befall you, Psalm 91:10. And nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you, Luke 10:19. But I give you these testimonies as encouragement so you can appreciate what you're hearing coming from this pulpit by any of the teachers. Because by their fruit you shall know them. And so these are some of the fruits that we're presenting to you. Just a few of them, and we've almost used up the entire time. And the way you get to that place is in Proverbs 3:5-6. These scriptures you need engraved on your heart. You need to know them. You need to know book, chapter, verse, and live them. Mark 11:22-26. John 15:7, Psalm 91, and Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. And he direct your path. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You and I, more than ever in history, our history, the history of the world, need to be directed by the Lord in all our footsteps. Because we're moving into an era of reality. And understand, just as we've been blessed over the last 5 years here at ABC, we're going to be blessed even more. Which is what graduate school semester 4 is all about. Walking in prosperity during the ending days. All the things that happen in the book of Revelation are not unconnected, terrible tragedies. They all fit together in a pattern. There's a reason for all of it. And the glorious church, the manifested sons and daughters of God, are heavily involved in that process. And that's all part of the process of cleansing this world of Satan and his demons and devils. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will never pass away. And he says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, which is what we're in the process of doing. Not fill the earth with children of the devil, but fill the earth with children of God. That's what he meant by replenish. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And goes on in Genesis 1:26-28 to say, you have authority and dominion over the earth and everything that moves on it. Because you and I trust God. We have faith in God. We believe Genesis 1, 26 and 28. If you believe Genesis 1, 26 and 28, it tells you, you have authority over everything on the earth. Is a mountain part of the earth? A real mountain? And the answer is yes. Have people moved real mountain? Yes. Pastor Peter has, for example, but more than Pastor Peter. But a mountain of obstacles, cancer, is it part of the earth or the things on it? The answer is yes. You can speak to any mountain and move it. Why? Because everything on the earth and everything that moves up on the earth, you have authority and dominion over it. And if you start to live understanding you have authority and dominion over everything on the earth and everything that moves on the earth, then everything you say as part of your ongoing lifestyle, you will believe it shall come to pass. Then when you come to a specific situation, you'll have what you say. So that's what I'm saying. We got through the era of fear. God blessed us through the era of fear. We're living lives better than we have ever imagined it. And we expect to go on higher and higher and higher over the next 5 years. You now know the Lord is not coming back in the next 5 years. Over the next 5 years, hopefully over the next year, I will teach and exactly when he's coming back to the general congregation sometime soon, and I'll publish a book on it. Okay? I've been wanting to do that for quite a while, but as Pastor Michael says, we're right in time. We're right in time. In the meantime, it should not make any difference to you whether you know when Jesus is coming back or not. I was ministering to a couple on the phone recently, and the wife said to the husband, I asked Pastor Joshua, how can he say that he knows when the Lord is coming back, when the Bible says, when Jesus says, no man knows the hour and the day? And my answer was, not my stuff. Oh, it's not my stuff. What answer would you give to that? Nobody brave enough to give an answer? Go for it. That's the need. You need it in there. I don't know the hour and the day. The Bible is very precise. We tend as people to be sloppy in the way we read things. No, I don't know the hour and the day. No man knows it. But the Bible says you can know the season. And I know the season down to a year, plus or minus one. And if my memory serves me correctly, he did say one specific year. I've been tuning on the scriptures and not so much what he said. Because the scriptures never go wrong. But you can be deceived by a voice that comes to you in your heart or your head. Right? So let me tell you, folks, it's an awesome time. It's a time of excitement. If you're not having a time of excitement, if you look forward to the next 5 years and what grips you is fear, you're not spending enough time with God and his word. What should grip you is excitement. You are where all the great prophets wanted to be here. And we are here. Now the question is, are we going to live up to it? I, for one, I'm going to do everything I can to live up to it. Amen?